Hi.
Sean.
No, you're Scotty.
Oh.
Hi.
Scotty.
How
are
you
today?
I
was
wondering
if
you
would
stick
around
and
listen
to
Smartless.
Welcome to Smartless.
That was very good.
Smart.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
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 Great.
Sean, you all packed?
I was just going to say, I just finished packing. I hate packing.
Sean, yes. You're going to England?
I'm going to England. Yes, the United Kingdom. Yes. What else?
To work on a fantastic new project. Do you want to talk about it?
No. I mean, it's a little fun cameo in a movie called The Running Man.
With our friend Edgar Wright is directing.
Edgar Wright is directing. We should have him on the show, by the way.
The great, I know, we should. I've wanted to for a while, and he's a fan. He's a big fan of the show.
I know, he loves, yeah, we love him too.
Well, he's going to be busy for a little while now, right?
Yeah, they've been shooting already for a while. Edgar Wright directed Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Baby Driver, tons of great movies.
Yeah.
Tons.
Yeah.
Really good filmmaker.
Yeah.
He's a very good filmmaker.
And a good guy.
And a good guy.
Yeah, but I packed my sanitizer because I'm like Jason a little bit where I have the sanitizer wipes, so I wipe down the seats before I sit down and I wipe down all
of them. Do you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you talking about? I would feel embarrassed that I'm making such a big do you try to sneak that at all?
I don't.
Now you're embarrassed?
I know.
What? This is the line?
I don't put music on with arrows pointing at me. I do it quietly.
What about theater seats when you're at a movie theater? Do you do that as well? I wear a hoodie like this.
But I do bring sanitizer to a movie theater.
And for the armrests?
Yeah, but I don't wipe the seats and I just make sure
I
don't touch
them.
You guys
are what's wrong with this country.
but here's
you
the thing.
Truly, mean that. I do, sincerely. And I love you both.
Oh, that's the problem in this country?
Yep.
But Will, don't you see, because my brain goes immediately to, so the backrests of theater seats or plane seats, you lean against it and then you go right to your pillow, right? So you lean back on your pillow at home in your bed.
Yeah.
And then eventually you flip over onto your side or your face and your mouth's open and you're
But what are you talking about? I don't go from the
connection.
I don't go from seeing a movie to laying down.
Well, you do eventually at the end of the night. You go home from the theater, you put on your little PJs and then you climb into bed.
Yeah, but
and
it's now a lot of time for the germs to get away.
The germs don't die that quick. I think they last longer, don't they?
I don't know. Yeah, I rely on something called my immune system and people have been, doing this and living forever.
What if you're smelling somebody's hair gel,
My grandparents lived into their 90s, my great-grandmother over 100, mm-hmm. and they never owned a bottle of sanitizer. They didn't do any of
this
shit.
They should have.
You're right.
They lived long, healthy lives, and they didn't obsess about it.
I know. And it's just a gross factor. I wish I could not think about it, because I don't think I'm getting sick. I just think I'm preoccupied with gross thoughts.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Any other coffee chatter? Or should we get to our guests?
We should get to our guests. I could talk about the airplane travel thing, but no, let's go.
Okay, and I don't know if you heard it, but I did have an S on the end of that. Yes, guys, today it's a special treat. It's a two for Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
It's a twofer.
We didn't even have
to
pay extra.
Two for Tuesday. Yeah.
Twofer?
We're going to double the pleasure, double the fun, because we've got not just the one guest, we've got the two. And when I say two, it's kind of more like 10 because of their combined accomplishments.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. On one side, he has sold more than 300 million records worldwide. Okay? That's 26 golds, 43 mm-hmm. platinum, two mm-hmm. diamond. I got to ask him what those are.
Yeah, what's a diamond?
He's also received 6 Grammys, 2 Oscars, a Tony, and yes, an Emmy to join the elite group of EGOT winners. He's a Kennedy Center honor. He's got
honoree.
He's received the French Legion of Honor and a knighthood from the Queen.
What?
For HIV AIDS, he's raised more than $565 million. Not to be outdone, she is one of music's most respected voices, receiving 11 Grammy Awards, 2 Emmy Awards, an Oscar nomination, New York Times bestselling author.
What?
They've combined their superpowers to create a new album with a birthday of April 4th. They're here to talk about that and their incredible lives. I'm very excited and honored to introduce Brandi Carlile and Sir Elton John.
Oh, what terrific. The hell?
Can you believe it?
Terrific. Absolutely
what the
terrific.
Hell?
Good morning to
crazy.
You both.
Hi, guys.
Well, hello.
Guys, can you believe this?
This is
good
pretty
morning.
Cool. This is really cool.
Insane.
And it's dark, so you must be in London.
Well, Windsor, yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of London.
Windsor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. I'm from Glen Ellyn, which
means,
is outside of Chicago.
Nothing. It means nothing to Sean Cohen.
Nothing to Sean. And you're together too. This is are you got what are you both doing right now? This is in conjunction with promoting the album that you're together?
It is in conjunction with promoting the album. So yeah, that's why we're talking to you guys. We're promoting and flouting.
This is so cool for us, you guys. This is really cool.
God,
thank
you.
Huge fans of
it. Like to say hello to Sean, who I haven't seen for years.
I know. How are you, my friend? I know I haven't seen you in such a long time.
I know.
Sean, do you owe him money?
I do owe him a little bit of money and a little bit of a good time.
Yeah, he was a rent boy when I knew him.
Oh. Well, he's a lease boy now, so.
By the way, it's still the same price.
Yeah.
Because
Wow.
Now, wait, I have a great, this is so kooky. So, Brandi, you know, I'm going to tell this story when I first met you.
Okay.
So, this is embarrassing for me. So, we were at a fundraiser. And we got sat next to each other, me and Scotty and you and your wife. And I sat there and like an idiot, I go, and we were laughing and having a good time. I go, I'm so sorry. I'm an idiot. What do you do? And you and you said, oh, I'm in the music business. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then you introduced your wife, who's also lovely. And we had a great night. And then the next day, I go to this meeting at like, I don't know, Warner Brothers or something. And it's in a high rise. And I look out the window and the size of a building is a billboard with your face on it. And I'm like, I just sat next to her last night at dinner.
And I had no idea.
I had no idea. Now, of course, I listen to all your stuff. I like went bananas on you after
I've
that.
Done lots of things. I've been a roofing laborer, a barista, a grocery store worker. I'm lots of things.
Are those things true,
yeah.
Brandi?
Yeah.
What kind of barista were you? Were you good at the barista-ing? I always think I would be awful at that.
Well, it's all about tips. So I was great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you good working for the tips? I've always secretly had a fantasy to be a waiter just so I could work each table to figure out what they need me to be to get the best tip. Like separate audiences, you know?
Jesus.
Yeah, we know.
You were great at that?
Yeah, we know how to do this in the music business, in the entertainment industry. We know how to chameleon.
I never understood why because I worked at a restaurant, why we all have to combine our tips. Like, and then you split. Did you ever work in one of those places? Where you put everybody pools their tips and then you split them. I'm like,
is that really the way it works?
Yeah, it worked when I was a waiter. It was awful.
My obsession is watching Jason when people describe real world jobs because, and God bless you, and I love you, Jason, but he grew up in the showbiz.
Well,
he's been an actor since he was a kid, and he's never had a real world, right, Jason? You've never
job. Will, have you ever had a job where you get tips?
Fuck no. But I'm saying the point is, I have had real world jobs though. So I
yeah,
it
dug
is,
trenches. I know.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, you two.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Who Believes in Angels. This is your new album. What about the concept for the album? How did that come about? Whose great idea was this to get together? Who called who?
Well, I've been a fan of Brandi and a friend of Brandi's for over 20 years and her family.
Wow.
And I've always wanted to record with her. And I had the idea of making the album when the final tour stopped in Europe. I'd already booked the studio in Los Angeles for October 23. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to desperately make a record with her. I've been a fan of hers for years. She's been a fan of mine. We included Bernie Taupin in the process, who's been my longtime lyricist, and Andrew Watt, the producer. So there were four of us going into the studio with nothing. but self-doubt and hesitation. And
always for a good album. It's,
yeah. And I, when I got to the studio, I was really tired. I was grumpy. I was fairly lethargic. And for the first few days, it was the hard experience because I was not in a good place. I had so much self-doubt, wondering whether I could shift this album into the way I wanted it to be. And eventually, after they put, we filmed every song being written, every take being recorded. So my behavior wow. is there for all to see. And after
yeah,
the first
I saw the trailer, it's funny.
After the first 5 days, it suddenly clicked, and people were really supportive of me and my behavior, and they taught me around, and I felt in a good place. And then we just roared. We wrote 14 songs in 3 weeks, and 10 which,
oh my God.
Which made the album.
Wow.
And we started with nothing. So it was probably one of the greatest creative experiences I've ever had. And she is a machine. She is so yeah. incredibly inspiring. I mean, her vocals, she never does a bad vocal. Her phrasing, which no. I had to harmonize to, was so difficult for me that I actually tore the lyric up and told her to fuck off.
He did. Nightmare.
Yeah, nightmare.
Really? You just were like, nightmare. I'm not doing that?
No.
I'm not doing that?
Yeah, yeah. And then after I tore it up, we had to get it stuck back together again because I was being such an idiot.
Is that typically the way that it works? You show up in a studio and you've got nothing and you start to come up with either melodies or lyrics or whichever strikes you first?
No, you go there with some things written sometimes. And Brandy does that. She goes in. And I sometimes go into the studio with, I've had a couple of ideas. But mostly recently, I've just written in the studio. But
and are all the songs duets, or are there some solos on the album? Is every song a duet?
It's 10 tracks. So we did like an album. Side one, it finishes with Brandy's solo song. Side two finishes with my solo song.
And oh, that's nice.
Let Brandy talk a bit.
Oh, well.
I mean, Brandy, I wanted to say, hi. First of all, I haven't seen you in a long time.
I will.
Hi, how are you? And last time I saw you, you sang beautifully at Jimmy's memorial tribute concert at the Bowl, which was just amazing. It was
Jimmy
so
Buffett.
Incredible. Yeah, Jimmy Buffett, the great Jimmy Buffett, who was a friend of ours and our mutual friend, Jane. And Brandy, what is it like? I mean, you're such an accomplished singer, songwriter. You've done it all. You're an incredible performer. But when you get a call, and I know you've been friends with Sir Elton John for, as he said, 20 years. But when you get a call from Sir Elton John saying, let's make a record, that must be, at risk of embarrassing you, Sir Elton John, what is that like when you get that call, when that comes through, like, hey, we're going to make a record?
It was, if he didn't always do what he says he's going to do, I wouldn't have believed it. But he does. And he was coming off of that massive tour, Dodger Stadium, Glastonbury, just like really highlight moments like in anyone's life. And he was coming out of this all with all this adrenaline. And I thought, well, he's not going to do it. You know, he
right.
says he's saying it, but does he mean it? You know, and the thing you guys got to understand is I have loved Elton John and Bernie Taupin since I was 11 years old. They're the only reason I ever wrote a song or touched an instrument. Yeah, same. And so it feels really mystical and bizarrely beautiful that at this point in my life that this is what's happened to me and Elton in our relationship. But also, it kind of makes sense. And that's more than I can explain, but it's also more than I could have asked for.
Was it a difficult thing to allow yourself, Brandy, to let all your creative instincts flow as freely as I imagine they flow when you're working by yourself? When you're collaborating with somebody that's such a hero to you, were you able to sort of like let that barrier drop down and let all the instincts fly?
Not for a long time. I mean, imagine that, you know? Like, think how that could have gone. It was like an existential crisis for me. It could have gone really wrong. Like, that first time I put a lyric down in front of Elton John, what if he hadn't have been able to write a song to it?
Right.
She's so inspiring, and she's so, you know, I was just inspired by her. I've always been inspired by her voice and her writing, but her musicianship. And I think we both inspired each other. That was the whole point of doing the record, to have what we have as artists and then, you know, put it on the other person. And she's quick. I mean, she's really quick. And she does a vocal in like one take.
Well, you're both able to do so many different types of songs well. So many different sounds and genres and rhythms. Was there much communication about what type of sound and tone the film, or the, not the film, sorry, the album would have? Whether it would have a rock feel, a country feel, a ballad feel? Was there any discussion about that?
It was all down to Elton had this vision. It was like at first he was like, okay, he was trying to conceptualize what it would be. He goes, okay, we're going to be like Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. And then he would call me a week later and go, no, it's the Eurythmics. And then he would call me a week later and go, no, it's Buddy Holly and Patsy Cline. And then one day he just called me and he said, no, it's going to be us. Let's have it just be us. But we're not going to do anything anybody expects from us. And then the vision just came clearer.
And years ago, I bought her an electric guitar because I wanted to push her and nudge her to play electric and get out there and rock a little more. And there's a great side of her that I could see that wasn't coming out. And she, you know, she's growing. She loves all sorts of music. And she's broken. Listen, she sang Joni Mitchell's entire Blue album at Disney Hall without a teleprompter, which takes balls of fucking steel, I tell you. And so
That's
she's
amazing.
Got big, big balls, I tell you.
She, new title for the album.
The unfortunate thing is... She breaks wind a lot, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know. Believe me. Yeah.
It's all in the outtakes, right? And we will be right back.
And now back to the show.
How did you both first meet?
She wrote me a letter. And I was aware of her music. I was in Las Vegas doing one of my residencies, and she said, would you ever consider playing on a song of mine? And I wrote back and said, or phoned her, I said, put a phone number, and I said, hey, yeah, if you can come to Vegas, because I'm stuck here, we can do something together. And she came, and before I even sat at the piano, I fell in love with her. It was like it was destined to be a friendship that, you know, it's lasted for years and years and years and gotten better. And it was,
I love that.
It was just happenstance or whatever it was, serendipity.
Yeah, you know what? I have to say, when I met you, Brandy, too, I just immediately fell in love with it. Like, you are one of those personalities and people that just are so lovely and filled with light and love and
acceptance.
Took
me a minute. Took me a minute.
Took a minute.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
Yeah, it took me a minute.
I'm not there.
I had to warm up to her, yeah.
I did. I really just did.
And she's creative as hell. I mean, that's what I love.
No kidding.
It was wild, like, going to see Elton in Vegas. I remember coming down that long hallway, and I could hear his voice, speaking voice, before I saw him. And I had spent so much time as a kid growing up with Live in Melbourne and Tantrums and Tiaras and all of his interviews, and it was his voice, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to come around the corner in a minute, and Elton John is going to be sitting there. And it was just...
In a huge ball gown and a tiara and huge high heels.
Sure. In a tracksuit, but there was a lot of pink. There was a lot of pink.
About 25, maybe 30 years ago, I was in Los Angeles, young, unemployed or barely employed actor, and I was at a restaurant in Beverly Hills. I don't know why. And Sir Elton John, you came in and you sat at a table with a friend, and then you had like a security guy with you at a table next to you. And the phone rang... And his phone, and he took the call, handed it to you. You spoke on the phone for like 30 seconds and handed it back to the guy. And I thought, that's what I want.
That's right.
I want a guy sitting at a table behind me.
Yeah.
He feels the call.
But were there songs on the album? By the way, when you're doing that, when you're collaborating like that, isn't it difficult to come up with like a lyric or a melody or whatever, and through discussion, have to get rid of something that you love so much? Like, how do you
No discussion. If Elton doesn't like it, he just yells, cut the line, and it's gone.
Really?
Yeah, but it was very easy. There wasn't anything I didn't like. All the 10 songs that we chose were the obvious songs. And the rest, okay. The 10 that we had were fantastic. So, no, I mean... Yeah. No, I would never say that. I mean, all the songs she gave to me were amazing.
He makes decisions very, very quickly. It's not really even to be thought about. So there's no time to really stew in your kind of artistic, you know, whatever. He just, it happens very quickly. He's a quick songwriter.
Yeah. And there'll be no touring of this, right? There'll be, because there's no more touring for you, correct, Sir Elton John?
There's no more touring for me. Yeah. And I'm very happy about that.
Now, what about, well, you've done it. thank you very much for all your amazing shows. My God, I went to one of the shows on this last tour. It's incredible. Mm. What about videos? Do folks make videos still? Right?
Is there we've made a video. We've made a video for this, and it's really great. Oh. David LaChapelle did the video. He did the album sleeve. Of course we'll do videos, and of course we'll do some TVs, and we may even do play on a TV show. But
I love that. Yeah.
And Sean, how's your piano playing coming along?
It's going okay.
Yeah, won him a Tony.
He won a Tony.
Yeah. He did.
He did.
He's an amazing piano player.
Incredible.
Yeah, he played, he did a Goodnight Oscar at the Tabasco Theater, which won him a Tony last year. What a show!
Yeah, baby!
He plays Rhapsody in Blue all by himself on a grand, right there, middle of the stage.
We've told this story before, forgive us, but Jason was sitting right in front, directly in front of me. We went opening night. And it was as soon as that was over and trying to play Rhapsody in Blue and everybody is cheering. And Jason turned around. We both had tears in our eyes. And he said, our show's over.
We can't make fun of Sean anymore. We can't make fun of Sean now.
It was so good. It was really good.
And by the way, and that was fleeting because we're right back where we started.
I used to go around to Sean's house in Hancock Park and used to play the piano there. It was fantastic.
This is the same house.
It is.
He's still there.
Yes. Oh, And then I think the piano I had for a while was yours, and then I sold it for a bigger one.
You had his piano?
I think so, because Eric McCormick, who was on Will and Grace, everybody was trading pianos or something. Yeah. Somehow I ended up with Elton's, and then I got a new one.
Is this a black market piano trade? What's happening here amongst musicians and artists? What's going on?
But you came over and played the music to Interview with a Vampire. I was blown away. You just sat down at my piano and started playing half the musical. And I was like, how can you do that? It's just,
it was unbelievable to see that
in real life.
Amazing. What kind of piano do you have now?
Right now I have oh my God, I'm so nervous. I can't remember. Bösendorfer.
Bösendorf, that's the best piano.
Yeah.
Apart from Yamaha. Because you've got the extra notes down the end of it.
Yes.
The extra notes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Secret notes.
I'm dumber than I thought I was.
Where is it made? What is the name of it?
Bösendorfer.
German.
Oh, you have a lovely Bösendorfer.
If I had a dollar.
This one has extra secret keys.
This one has three extra keys. It's longer.
Of course we do. Of course we're German. Very large. Of course we have extra keys. Mm. So Wouldn't you like to know where they came from?
So Brandy and Elton, you guys, you've been on stage together multiple times. Has there been a favorite performance you guys have had together that you can think of?
We haven't performed many times. Dodger Stadium.
Dodger Stadium has been my favorite when she sang Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, because Lady Gaga had done it before and was incredible, and she wasn't available, so I asked Brandy. She was cheaper.
Much cheaper.
A lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm. But she destroyed the song. It was incredible.
The first time we actually sang together, though, and I don't know if you remember this the exact first time we actually ever sang together in real life was in Joni's living room.
Joni, which
one? On that country song.
Not many people can say that, can they?
No.
That's crazy. No, what a sentence.
It was an old country song that I've loved since I was a little kid called You Can Tell Your Friend There With You, He'll Have to Go.
Yes, He'll Have to Go, yeah. And Joni sang Love Potion Number 9 and Summertime.
Yeah.
And it was just one of the most. And she, music got Joni back together again as well as her physio. But this girl here is on my left, who used to instigate Joni jams where people used to come up, you had to play, you all had to sing in front of Joni Mitchell, which is terrifying.
That's a lot.
But it was one of the greatest things. And you'd have Herbie Hancock up there, you'd have Chaka Khan, you'd have Bonnie Raitt, you'd have.
You, Paul McCartney would come.
Paul McCartney, yeah.
That's amazing.
Harry Styles.
Debbie Gibson.
Yeah. That's amazing. Oh, God, and you sang the whole Blue record, too. That's what an incredible record that is.
Well, an incredible record, but she did it. I was sitting next to Joni at Disney Hall when she did it, and it was faultless. And I just said, balls of steel is ridiculous. And without a teleprompter, I would never have done that without a teleprompter. And it was the most incredibly brave and courageous thing to do. And then she did it at Carnegie Hall as well. It was phenomenal. And Joni couldn't have been happier. She resuscitated Joni Mitchell.
I love that.
Wow.
I
mean,
wait, you know, you bring up an interesting point. I've wondered that about the teleprompters for lyrics and stuff. How common is that on tour with musicians?
It's getting more and more common. I started seeing it happen at all the tributes and stuff like that. Now I think it's just kind of a part of it because they look like monitors on stage, so you can't tell, you know, but I'm sure that it's interesting because a lot of musicians haven't figured out how to not look at them when they're performing, so I hate seeing that. But at the same time, it provides some spontaneity because then a musician can take a request out of the audience and actually play a song.
Right.
Yeah.
And they can just load it in. Jason uses a prompter when he goes to therapy. Isn't that right, Jason?
It's hard to keep all the lies together, yeah.
Could you imagine?
I get requests from the audience. Can you play Piano Man? And I said, wrong guy.
No way.
Wrong guy.
No.
Yeah, wrong
no
guy.
No way you do not have
someone
you really
asked
gotten
me to play Piano Man once, yeah.
No way.
Wow. Because I have played Piano Man with Billy many
times. Security.
And I couldn't play it on my own. Yeah.
Security.
Oh my God.
That is crazy.
Now, what are you, you say you filmed the entire recording process. What's going to happen with that?
But the crazy thing is, I never saw a camera. We don't know where they were. They were fixed, little tiny things. So we forgot about them constantly, and just our behavior is reflected in that, you know? It was a very strange concept. And I don't know. I think for that reason, it's like, it's a wild ride.
There's a song at the end of the album, which is my solo song. Brandy has a solo song at the end of the side one about her daughter, her eldest daughter growing up and leaving. Tell her about it. It's just a beautiful song.
Oh, it's like about that moment, like when you have kids, like where it's like they depart you in some way. It can even happen when they're young and you're so devastated and you're so proud at the same time and you don't know which feeling to pick. It's about that.
I love that.
You mean empty nesting?
Kind of, but it can happen early on too. Like the first time that they choose something you don't believe in, or pick a record you don't like, or decide to stay home on a trip when you wanted
independence.
An income. Yeah, those moments are so sad, but also so he's so proud.
It's so true.
My 4-year-old this morning, it was kind of heartbreaking. My 4-year-old said to me, he was just waking up, and he was kind of snuggled up against me, and I was kissing his head, kissing his hair, and I was like, "Hi, buddy. Good morning, morning." And then his eyes weren't even open, and he just goes, "No more kissing."
That's what I'm talking about.
And I was like, wow, okay. All right.
God, that sounds like a long marriage.
I wrote a song at the end of the album. And I just get the lyrics, and I'm just two Bernice Taupin lyrics called "When This Old World Is Done With Me." And so I'm writing the verse, like, "Oh, this is really pretty." And then I get to the chorus, and of course it's about my death. And
thanks, Bernie.
And when you get to my age, which is near 100, you think, how much time have I got left? And you got children, you got a wonderful husband. You just think about mortality. And so when I got to the chorus, I just broke down for 45 minutes, and it's all on film.
Cried hard.
And we just
got it.
When do we see that? With this footage?
I think I want everybody to see it because it's really human, like deeply flawed and embarrassing, and the kind of shit that you do when you forget that there is a camera on is what's really interesting. Yeah. But that moment, I got to be in there and I witnessed that moment because when we were making the record, I would sit behind him when he was writing his melodies and try to like remember some of the ones that were really hitting me hard and I was recording him on the melody of this song because I thought, oh, okay, well, I want to remember this melody so that in case he moves on to another one, he can remember how good it was. And he got to the end of that chorus and his voice started to shake and I thought, oh, he's going, like he's going to really go. And he went into a real moment of
And she came over and she said, "Don't worry, you've got at least another 6 months."
That's great.
Hold on through promotion.
Yeah. The worst part is she was looking at an app that was telling you real time when it was going to happen. That was scary.
And I said, "No, you're not in the will."
That's hilarious.
Well, needless to say, not to be maudlin, and we can push past this afterwards. If in the plan of using all your years as well as you possibly could, Sir Elton John, my goodness, what an enormous list of accomplishments you've done thus far with plenty of time left.
Yeah, plenty of time left.
Yeah.
you've contributed for three lifetimes. So rest assured, you've
And this is by leave me. This is one of my biggest accomplishments with her. Accomplishments.
Yeah. Well, we cannot wait to listen to it. And
do you have, Sir Alan? Can I just ask you quickly, if you don't mind, when you and Brandy alluded to it before, you being such a sort of a hero of hers, you know, musically and inspiration, and Sean, you too, also as a musician. When you, and you have been such a, your music is such a big part of all of our lives for so long, and it, in ways that we don't even know, like you've just, you really sort of weaved right into the fabric of all of our lives. Do you have moments when you're moving through the world, you're in a, you're somewhere and your song comes on, you're in a car, you're in a restaurant, you're in a shop, you're somewhere. How does it strike you when you hear your music, especially stuff that was from a long time ago? What are those moments like hearing your music?
It's great. I don't listen to my stuff very often. I don't listen to the radio very often. But when you're on an elevator and you think, what the fuck is that? And it's Daniel, you feel very proud. You know, I don't listen to my stuff, but I'm very proud of what we've written, and I love to hear it, as long as it's not being played by myself. But it's right. Yeah, I've done so much in my life, and yeah, there's so much more to do. And she's inspired me to go ahead with this record, and I think this is the best record I've made in 40 years. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
I love that.
By the way, I'm glad you mentioned Daniel. I think that probably 1,000 times of my life I've made the stew. Anytime I've met somebody named Daniel, they say, Daniel, my brother, you are older than me.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll be right back.
And back to the show.
So you guys have, your friendship is, did you say it's 20 years you guys have been buddies?
Over than that.
Is that right?
Somewhere around that.
No, over than that. Oh, it's more than that.
Maybe more than that, yeah.
My goodness.
Because I was in Vegas.
Yeah, you were in Vegas. And and we had kind of, about that.
Yeah.
Do your kids know each other?
Yeah.
They must, yeah. You guys go on vacations all the time together?
They come to, we have a house in Nice in the south of France. And Brandy, Catherine, and the girls come down every summer, and we have the time of our lives.
Oh my God!
I love that. I love that.
I stayed in a house right close to your house, Sir Elton John. A couple of years ago, I was working on a job for like 6 months, and this French caretaker of this house kept saying, "That is Sir Elton John's house, right there." I didn't ring the bell.
What about? Do either one of you need any parenting tips from the other person? How does that go? Do the kids get along?
Kids love each
other. Kids really.
My boys are a little older than Brandy's girls, but my boys are really good with children. And Zachary's not here at the moment; he's at school. But Elijah's here, and he just loves playing with the girls. It's there's no problem with that. They get on like a house on fire. And Brandy and Catherine's girls, I should say, are absolute angels. I mean, they're just beautiful girls. That.
The first time I went to go visit David and Elton in France with Catherine and my girls, we landed and we went downstairs at this table, this beautifully adorned table for breakfast. I mean, everything is like decked out. There's like designer napkins and it's like unbelievable. You wouldn't believe it. And I had a 3-year-old at the time, and she was at that table for 3 seconds before, without any warning, she projectile vomited all over the entire thing. He didn't even pretend it was okay. He was just like,
God damn it.
But no, he and David were so sweet about it, and they calmed our anxiety. But I mean, I died 1,000 deaths when that happened.
Poor little thing.
You remember that?
Yeah, that's all sweet. Wait, you know, Elton, you know, I go for walks a lot around my neighborhood because you can, and I just put on this album that I bought when I think I was a senior in high school called Red Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite albums you ever did.
Oh, thank you.
One of my favorite songs, no, I never hear it anywhere. It's so perfectly written as the Heavy Traffic song.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
I mean, that's like a massive, massive hit song that was never, I don't know if it was ever been released as a single.
No, there was lots of songs on that album, Japanese Hands and stuff like that.
Yes, Japanese Hands is great too.
But
I love all
there are
those
lots
songs.
Of deep cuts. I mean, I've had a lot of hit singles, but probably the best songs are on the deep cuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For sure. And of course, Give Up the Ghost is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It's true. One of my favorite albums.
So, Brandy, growing up in Washington, did you think that you would be at this? Did you allow yourself to sort of dream about where you sit now in the industry, your, the level of respect and accomplishment, and how did that? Well, I guess just answer that one first. You know, did you allow yourself to dream of this high?
Yes, the nuanced things like respect or credibility are things I value so much now, I hadn't really fantasized about, but I would close my eyes and dream of myself on stage in Madison Square Garden. I would think of myself like I would visualize myself winning a Grammy and thanking Elton John before I ever met Elton. I was like, oh yeah, I pictured I would get up on stage and thank Elton John and the Indigo Girls. And I was like maybe 13 years old, like visually. So
that.
I visualized a lot of what has happened, oddly.
Yeah.
But, and I don't understand or profess to know why that is. But yes, I did allow myself to dream really big from that single wide mobile home.
I love that.
Yeah, I wonder if the visualization, if you feel, is a really important part of it. And I'd ask you the same, Sir Elton John. Did you allow yourself to dream as big as well? And for our listeners, can you speak about what that kind of big word nowadays is, manifestation? I don't know if you guys subscribe to that, but you know, having those goals and this vision and belief in yourself, what size role did that play, do you think, in both of your successes?
I never imagined myself as a solo artist. When I was in my group Bluesology, I took the big risk of going up to Liberty Records saying, I want to write songs. I'm so fed up with playing in a band that doesn't want to go anywhere. And I can sing too. And so the guy, as you know, because it's an old story, gave me the envelope with Berners lyrics in it. And then when we wrote songs, I had to go out and nothing was happening. I had to go out and play them live. So I had to form a band. And I really didn't have any visions of being Elton John's superstar. It just happened very, very quickly. And so it was like, it was so exciting because I came to America and there was Neil Diamond introducing me. There was Brian Wilson. There was Linda Ronstadt. There was Leon Russell. All those kind of people that were my heroes. And suddenly I was there. I mean, it took me a couple of years to establish myself all over America. But it was like, I was a kid in a candy store. I never really visualized Elton John being a big star. It all happened by accident, really. Huh. It really happened by it, which was lovely.
That's a good question. I was wondering about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would imagine the preservation of your smaller image, your more human image, your younger image, I would imagine remains to be a very important part of not only your identity, but your ability to be creative and your ability to write and to constantly be connected to the person that the public does not know, the person who you started as. That's got to be a big important part for both of your careers, yeah?
When I became successful very quickly, and this is in the documentary, Never Too Late, we did so much work in 5 years and went to the pinnacle of fame in 5 years. And I lost the person that I was originally. And that was very hard for me. And it took me loads of years to get that back. And I got it back when I got sober, which is 35 years this year, hopefully.
Great, that's great.
And so, the little boy inside of me had vanished, but the little boy has come back, and everybody needs that little child inside them to keep them going. And unfortunately, I lost him, and it made me very unhappy and very depressed, but I still kept working. I still kept making records and touring, and so the music kept me alive until I finally came to my senses, and now my life is incredible. I mean, I couldn't have a better life than I could. I mean, I wake up every morning with my children and David and my, you know, all the people that work for me are the nicest people in the world. I am the luckiest person in the world. I am blessed. So, that little boy is very happy.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Brandy, I'm sure that little child in you stays vibrant and loud.
She's hanging out right now. She is like riding shotgun. Shit, like this is the, you know, I've always tried to kind of like keep the young child in me like at bay long enough to do my job and get through the things that are important to me, you know, but for this one, I've just let that girl come to the surface totally because I'm getting to hang out with Elton John.
And so cool.
That's an unbelievable realization of a dream. And it's really been like a life affirming thing, you know, and also that young version of yourself gets clearer when you have kids too, you know, you're just like trying not to project onto them, but it's hard not to see a mini me sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
I'll bet.
Well, God, you know, I'm just looking at you two going, there's such an very, very, very small group of people in the world that have gifts they leave behind that will last forever. I mean, just for
immortal.
Decades. Yeah. And to have a part of you live on in music is so rare that a lot of people try to achieve that level and they just don't. And so it's just incredible. Incredible to see you guys. And now together, it's great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah. That's it. And now I'm going to and I'm gonna try drugs for the first time.
Oh, what, no.
Really? I'm kidding.
You've never tried drugs, right, Sean?
Me? No, I would get stoned all the time, smoke pot constantly. And right. Now I take gummies, which is nice. But the only hard thing I tried was, right? Yeah, they're legal. Yeah. But I tried mushrooms once and it was just insane. I felt like I weighed 250 pounds and it was just awful. It was terrible.
250 pound mushroom, a film coming to you soon.
Yeah, it was terrible.
You wish.
Yeah, that was awful. That's it.
Wow. And then what's that process like? So now you're done. You've completed the record, and it's going to come out, and you're not going to tour. Maybe you'll do a few dates, a few live dates, or a show here or there. And then I guess it's not unlike, you know, for us, like working on a film, and then you kind of go and you move on, and then it's like, it's hard to say goodbye, I'm sure, when you make a connection. I mean, you're still friends, obviously, but
to that project,
you do something that's so intensely creative.
We talk every day, and we see each other every chance we get. We'll always be making music together as long as we can.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I love that.
I ain't letting go.
What?
What's that?
He said he ain't letting go.
No.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, we can't thank you both enough for joining us and talking to us about your album.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
It's been an honor.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you. See you both. Yeah.
Continued success to you both, and specifically with this album. Think of something to do with that footage. Please put it together so we can all get that privileged view into the process.
Oh, well, I hope we meet each other soon. So we can give each other a big hug. And Sean, I do miss you. I love you very much. Okay?
I miss you too, honey. I love you too. Thanks. Okay. It's good to see you.
Thanks, you guys, so much.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Bye.
Bye, you guys. Bye.
Jason, how in the world? I mean, how did you, quote, land them?
That's, I'm reminded of the same question I asked you after we had Sir Paul McCartney, on the show. Yeah. How did you land? And you said it was an incoming. This was an incoming.
Oh, wow.
That's
amazing.
What? They're promoting that album, and I guess they're doing a podcast, and we were chosen, I suppose.
I
don't know. I didn't question it. I just said, there was a question as to, how do we feel about doing, a double guess? Which we've done a couple of times, but it's been rare.
It's been musicians. It was Billie Eilish and her brother Phidias.
Yeah.
And the Smile guys, Radiohead guys.
And then
Tom York.
And then Arcade.
Arcade Fire as well.
It is odd that it's just been music. Yeah. It was really kind of just no doubt about it.
That's just incredible. I mean, I know I said it already, but it's like, I mean, it's both of those guys have, go ahead.
Well, Sean, I'm looking at your face, and first of all, you know that Elton John knows where you live, and that he's been to your house, and that he's played on your piano. But I just want, and you mention all the time Glen Ellyn, Illinois, and you know, to the point that we're all so sick of it. But did you? Is there, for you, the novelty as a kid? Growing up in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, who loved music, sitting there with, you know, four siblings, no dad, is there part of you...
Wait, go back. What?
Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, no,
sorry,
he left.
I'm just trying to paint a picture. But it must be for you, Sean. It must be mind-blowing
you're talking to
Elton John.
Yeah, it always is. And, you know,
Your buddy, you
kind of suppress it because you can't believe it, so you kind of stuff it down. Like
I believe the sign-off was, "Bye, honey." Is what you called him.
You said
that's Sir Elton John, and you went with honey.
Yeah. You know where he gets that? You know where he developed that from? It's from Jimmy Burrows.
Yeah,
because exactly. You know Burrows calls everybody honey. Yeah. Honey, one more time. You're like, I'll do the scene again. Stop calling me honey in front of the crew.
Yeah, it's such a habit now.
I know.
Everybody from Will and Grace calls everybody honey. But yes, exactly. Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, but people would come on Will and Grace, or I would, like Elton John was on Will and Grace, or whatever it was, or whoever I meet in this business, I just always filled with gratitude when you wake up. That's where it all starts from. And if you're there, then everybody's on the same playing field, right? Everybody's like, that's me trying to suppress, like, oh my God, it's fucking Elton John, you know? But you're like, wow, anyway, it's my long answer.
Well, it's a thrill to play. Like, amazing. I know JB's playing golf with Thomas Rhett today. Like, I know his whole schedule. You know, like, just to be able to play, am I right?
You are right.
He texted me during the show. He's such a great guy. And he said, hey, man, I wish you were playing today because obviously you're not enough. But I mean, honestly, even JB, you're not even a musician. You don't even know what music is. You, Elton John and Brandy must be a thrill.
I have to admit, I think I was more nervous for that than I can remember. I think I've probably been more nervous for some of these, but I can't remember which one. I don't remember. Yeah. It's been a while. Like, I've got tons and tons and tons of questions here, and I couldn't bring myself to ask any of them. Either one of them. I just didn't know where to start.
Yeah, I know.
What the hell to say?
Right, because you want to do the Chris Farley thing where he interviews famous people. He's like, when he did Paul McCartney.
Both of them too, with Brandy. It's just like, I'm just not sure what to say to people that.
I wanted to ask him about every song. Like, how did you think of it? And where did it come from?
And know he's so over it.
Well, thank God you waited till he was gone again.
Well, but I wanted to be respectful of Brandy. I didn't want to just make it all about him. I wanted to make it about the album.
Brandy gets it too. I mean, she's such an accomplished singer-songwriter. She's amazing.
Incredible.
Honestly, that tribute for Jimmy Buffett last year, she brought the house down. She was unbelievable.
She was stunning. Oh.
And Give Up the Ghost really is a great album. I love that. Anyway.
Yeah, she's got incredible presence. I had no idea, though, that they were such close friends and that they vacationed together for 20 years. They've been buddies.
Yeah.
I think there's only one thing that I can say. Having them here today.
Yeah.
Having them today. Want to say, it's nice to say hello to some new friends.
Oh, no,
but it's also nice to say goodbye,
Yellow Brick Road. Bye. That's the one I was going to use too. Smart. Less.
Smart. Less. Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarve, and Bennett Barbago. Smart. Less.